Well, Springfield Contemporary Theater is presenting, once again, the Missouri Solo Play Festival at their headquarters at SCT Center Stage in Wilhoit Plaza at the corner of Pershing and Robertson in downtown Springfield. It's a month-long festival with four plays about four great women, starting this weekend with one show, and then they start mixing in the other three in repertory, different times, different days, that sort of thing as it goes on. Well, we have with us the stars of the first two shows in the festival. First show opens tonight at SCT Center Stage. It's called Walking Toward America, and it's by Sandy Asher, adapted from the memoirs of Ilga Weiss, who many of you will recognize as one of the hosts of, or one of the interviewers, I guess I should say, on KSMU's League of Women Voters program, Making Democracy Work. Well, this is a story about her, about Ilga Weiss, directed by David Montgomery, and featuring in the role of Ilga, our first guest today,
Annie Montgomery.
Annie has, actually, you workshopped it here in Springfield about what, we were trying to figure out how long ago that was, three or four years ago.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years ago, we did a production at the Springfield Library Center, and Ilga did talkbacks for both of those shows.
And she was here for that, too.
Yes, she was.
And Sandy was in, but she couldn't, neither one of them were able to come in today, but we will make do because we actually have not only you, but also Leslie Ballou, who is starring as the chew 'em up and spit 'em out actor's agent Sue Mengers with a show called I'll Eat You Last, A Chat with Sue Mengers by John Logan, and Gretchen Teague is directing you in that show. Well, let's talk about Ilga Weiss and her story. You are playing her, like, at what age? When do we come into the story?
We come into the story in the present time, if you want to, you know, look at it like that. So Ilga at her current age. But then she looks back at her memories through World War II. So you will meet Ilga several times during that time, but mostly when she's 17, 4 years old, and a 10-year-old Ilga as well.
Well, her story coming from Latvia, Eastern Europe, is quite harrowing.
Very.
There's no other way of putting it.
Yes. No, it is a story, well, that's really relevant today. And it really, really brings to light the struggles that immigrants had during that time. You know, she wasn't Jewish, but she still was displaced. And it's a story you don't hear about as much during World War II. And it's important to see how the war affected everyone in Europe and America.
Well, that's the thing about World War II and America's relationship with the Soviet Union. Soviet Union was an ally of America against the Axis powers, but the Soviet Union, of course, under Stalin, who was still in power at the time, had been doing nefarious things, horrible human rights abuses for decades. Mm-hmm. And what happens here, Ilga is 10 years old and she and her parents have to leave Latvia because the Russians are now occupying their city and their country, and that's just the beginning of their troubles.
Just the beginning. And what I found, and was a real, I learned so much from this story, truthfully, but, you know, there were no allies. The Germans were abusing her on one level because they you know, ended up in a forced labor camp, very similar to a concentration camp.
Right.
And then they escape, and then the Russians are attacking them by strafing. So there was really, you know, they were just trying to keep their heads low and get out of there alive and doing anything they could to survive. And it's harrowing. It really is.
They eventually made it to America, not before having to sail across the Atlantic through a big storm.
That's right. Just
how much more can happen to these people?
No, it trust me, it's you won't be bored. You might, you know, be a little stressed out. No, I'm just kidding. It's something that I think is important and also very hopeful. You know, when you see what people can overcome and survive, And still, and if you've, if anyone has met Ilga,
I was just going to say,
come on the other side of, really, it's very traumatic.
She's one of the most serene people I know.
Serene, but she's also so full of life and joy and compassion and forgiveness and openness. You know, people might come out of that kind of situation full of anger and
bitterness.
Hatred
mm-hmm.
and bitterness. And that's also what the play demonstrates is that human spirit and love really kind of conquers all, and trying to maintain that in the face of such adversity is quite inspiring.
Well, Sandy Asher, of course, had to get to know Ilga very well,
yes,
indeed, to be able to kind of put her life story on stage like this. You did too, and among other things, you had to learn to do the accent.
A few times, I play with the accent. The one thing that we recognize with the play too is it's about a memory. So we try to keep Ilga's voice as present to sort of who she is now. At least the way I approached it as an actor. So the spirit of Ilga is there throughout. Mm. So we touch on the accents now and again to really, really highlight a character. Mm. But mostly I would play it in what you would call like a straight American accent.
Oh, okay.
But the characters, like some of the soldiers that come out might have a German accent. There might be an English accent if you're dealing with like the ship captain. But it really helps to define sort of who Ilga is versus
right.
who all the people we meet.
Well, you know, this is a solo play, but it almost sounds like you have a cast of hundreds.
I have a play about 20 different characters.
Well, let's give the dates very quickly. Again, Walking Toward America opens tonight, and performances are tonight and tomorrow night, and you're also doing another performance next Saturday night at 7:30, but not Friday night, the 12th, because that's Leslie's debut in I'll Eat You Last, a chat with Sue Mangers. Tell us who Sue Mangers is. She's one of those behind-the-scenes Hollywood people, but who had enormous influence.
Yes, Sue was an agent in Hollywood and actually one of the first, the first high-powered female agent in Hollywood. Oddly enough, she also escaped Germany during World War II.
Mm.
She was Jewish, but her family didn't have quite the trials and tribulations until they reached America.
Oddly enough.
Mm. She had anyone was her client in the 70s and 80s. Barbara Streisand, the list goes on.
I've got a list here. I mean,
it's
Streisand, Faye Dunaway, Burt Reynolds, Gene Hackman, Cher, Ryan O'Neill, Nick Nolte, Mike Nichols, the director, Gore Vidal, Peter Bogdanovich, Bob Fosse, the choreographer and director. Well, as the tagline says, if her clients were the talk of the town, she was the town. What does that exactly mean?
Well, Sue adores gossip. Mm-hmm. It is, to quote the play, 'tis like mother's milk to me. And she makes it a point to make sure she knows who's in and who's out and what's going on. Her main way of taking care of clients was to throw dinner parties. And she would have very elaborate dinner parties with at least 12 people attending. And it was a long audition, basically.
Well, that's a long-standing Hollywood tradition, is dinner mm-hmm. parties where people really have to mm-hmm. sink or swim.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was able to connect several people, Burt Reynolds and Alan Pakula for Starting Over, and Anne Margaret and Mike Nichols for Carnal Knowledge. That all happened at her dinner table. So
basically, is a dinner party basically the setting for this, or how is it being done?
No, it's really truly just a chat with Sue Mangers. You're in her living room and she's on her couch waiting for a call from Barbara Streisand.
Not like a formal interview, but a chat.
Just... It's a chat. She's telling stories. We'll be sharing lots of interesting, fascinating stories.
complete with mature language in situations.
Yes, very, very mature language in situations, yes. Now, I had to warn my parents.
When you have to tell your parents that they're going to hear dirty stories, dirty secrets, then... You know. Annie's playing something, like you say, 20 different roles. Are you playing more than one role, or are you just doing the protagonist herself?
Well, it's Sue telling stories about other people. Robert Evans, for instance, she has conversations with or relays stories about conversations with Robert Evans. She has a, during the performance, she receives a phone call from Sissy Spacek. So the audience gets to see Sue at work with a potential client.
But kind of doing a Bob Newhart thing, talking to someone on the phone in
mm-hmm.
a way. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Several routine. Times, actually. Yeah. I also get a call from Richard Dreyfuss. So there's quite a few phone calls.
The woman
calls.
Knew everybody and actually yeah. Represented everybody just about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being that kind of extremely in-demand Hollywood agent, what kind of power did she wield?
She had a lot of power.
I mean, you were talking about her being the first of the truly powerful female agents in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Well, she established herself early on as being someone who would fight for her clients, which created...
That's her job, of course.
...created a flood. Well, the men necessarily didn't play it like that at that point. So she brought an entirely new style mm-hmm. of agenting to Hollywood.
And kind of a more aggressive one, perhaps?
A much more aggressive. And you know, as a woman, I think she had to be more aggressive. She had to have a very pronounced style in order mm-hmm. to stand above the other people that were out there trying to do the same thing. So,
you know, Annie, we were talking about Ilga being so serene. There had to be an enormous inner strength in her as a child to survive all of what she survived to get to America and then to make a life here over all those decades.
Definitely. I also think she had tremendous love in her family. Her parents were very strong. They always kept her interest and her needs first and foremost. So she had that really solid base of a family to, you know, keep her really grounded.
I guess we can assume that in I'll Eat You Last, there's a lot of humor.
Yes, I certainly hope you perceive that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the point.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not written in a way to ridicule the character of Sue Mengers at all, but that was just her.
It was her personality, and that's who she was. Yes.
Can we expect some humor in Walking Toward America?
Well, anyone who knows Ilga, and Sandy Asher's done a great job because it is so harrowing, and there are a lot of very dramatic parts.
Right.
The play, you know, part of what got, I think, the Weiss family through it all was that they had this love and this humor and this way of seeing the sunny side of things when they could. So peppered throughout the play, just right when you need it, you know, a different story, a different aspect of their life on the road will come through that's, you know, filled with funny moments and you know, kind of heartwarming pieces.
Anything heartwarming about Sue?
Of course.
I mean, we almost make her sound like such a barracuda, and it's not necessarily true.
She actually loved her clients very much. Mm. She was very passionate about the people that she represented, and she learned from many of them very important lessons, I think, that all of us could benefit from. So I know I have.
Annie Meek Montgomery has an opening night tonight. And are you still in rehearsal or have you shut things down?
Yes, I'm still in rehearsal.
Okay.
I'm very grateful for one more week.
Leslie Ballou is still working on her Sue Mengers, I'll Eat You Last. But and Annie Montgomery opens Walking Toward America tonight and tomorrow night, both at 7:30 at SCT. Ladies, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.